thank you so much, Lord, for the celebration that it is to witness these incredible people getting baptized, to declare publicly of your goodness in their life and their life turned around and being built on you. We thank you so, so much, Lord, for a day of celebration. Amen. How good is God? How good is God? Wow. Oh, thank you. Arlo kindly asked me, he's like, oh, do you want the flat one or the angled one? I'm like, I'm kind of like a right-angled sort of guy. I've got a right-angled forehead, if anyone notices it. It's pretty good, so I'll go the flat one. You can grab your seat, Relax. Put your feet up on the neighbor next to you or in front of you. No, don't do that. Thank you so much, worship team. How incredible are they? Give them a round of applause. So good. All right, I now know what it's like to work in theatre. I've had a quick wardrobe change and then came back out, so watch out. I'm ready for the musical Cats or something, you know. all right, I'm going to go back to my notes because I won't get in trouble then. How's everyone going tonight? Good? That's good. I'm glad. We are starting a new series tonight. I'm excited. I'm glad Linda is too. It's pretty amazing. Called Unshakable Faith. Or unshakable even, because faith isn't actually there. But it's all about how we can become unshakable. Now, before we start, I'm going to pray. Lord, as we open your word tonight, I just ask that your presence would be with us as we know that it is. That we would be aware of what you're doing to speak into us, Lord. And that we would be listening to work that, Lord, with your help, with your guidance. And yeah, we just give you all the honor and praise for who you are. Amen. Amen. On the 6th of February, 2016, a 6.4 magnitude earthquake struck the Mainong district of southern Taiwan, causing widespread damage to buildings and infrastructure. 116 people lost their lives in that earthquake. But the really devastating part of all of that is that of those 116, 115 died in one single building alone. Investigations later revealed that the 17-story apartment complex was built with the wall cavities filled with these cooking oil containers, like tins of cooking oil. They'd put them in the wall cavities so they didn't have to pay for as much concrete. And even some of the concrete that they did use was filled with some styrofoam to help thin it out to make it cheaper. Because they had compromised on proper building materials in order to save a little bit of cash, it left the 17-story apartment completely and utterly weakened. And when the earthquake came, it was devastating. Unfortunately, this is a common story. When buildings are constructed in an effort to save that time and money, corners are cut. And it has devastating effects. This is why in Australia, I'm thankful to live here. We have really strict building code. Thankfully, we were in a pretty solid building. It hasn't fallen down yet. The hail tried, but we prevailed. But this is the same for other industries as well. There are codes of conduct, there are regulations for any industry you can possibly think of. Construction is just one. If you go to a hospital, there are minimum standards for how clean a room should be, how when things happen in certain times and different things. Every single surgery that you might get from a hospital, from an ingrown toenail to heart surgery, has a list of minimum requirements that need to be met so that the quality can be controlled, so that there isn't that compromise that leads to damage. So one of my favourite things that I like to do is eat. I do like a good meal, especially a burger. The Piastri burger is quite good from Grilled, if anyone's keen. Also watch the race later tonight to see him win. But I'm getting off topic. When you go to a restaurant, though, you really want to know that they're not compromising on your food, right? They're going really strict on the safety standards. They're not just quickly rushing through a piece of chicken that's going to be on that burger. Because if they do rush that piece of chicken through the oven, you might be spending the rest of the week on the loo. And no one wants that. So we're going to be talking about tonight how to be unshakable in a world of compromise. So I've got a definition of compromise. It is the convenient, improper, or immoral acceptance of standards that are lower than desirable. Lower than desirable. So, how do we do this? Well, I've got three steps. I'm not a builder by trade, but I do like getting my hands in on the tools and getting into the shed. But the first step, which makes a lot of sense, is build with care. So if we are to undertake the building of an unshakable life in Christ, unshakable faith, whatever you want to call it, it is vital that we build with care. So we are in 1 Corinthians 3:9-11, it says, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus." So I've got some, I like a good triangle. Who likes a good triangle? Especially when it's got information. So I've got some of those who aren't, if you're not a structural engineer in the building, then this might come in handy. They even use this for like leadership development, all sorts of things. But these are the three factors that come into play when we want to build a building or anything else: cost, scope, the size of the project, and time. So these three factors are intrinsically linked to each other. If you change one, the others need to change, or the quality goes out the window. You get a really bad burger that keeps you up all through the week. So if we want, still won't be that big. So I'll give you an example. Christmas is a long way away, but I'll have a good gingerbread house. That's not going to take that much time or money to build, right? Even if you're a really bad chef, it's going to be maybe a full afternoon. That's about it. But a 17-bedroom villa with 23 toilets, 84 spas, whatever you want, that's a completely different story. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of money, a lot of investment. So if we, as a people, as a church, individually, if we want to build an unshakable life, a life of quality that isn't shaken to the ground with the earthquakes and the storms of life, then that is a pretty big undertaking, right? It's going to cost then both a lot of time and a lot of our resources. It's going to cost us. Who's excited about that news tonight? Yeah. At least three of us. It's awesome. In the height of Jesus' ministry, large crowds were following him in his every footstep. And I love this so much. He always did like crowd control. Have you noticed that? He's like, "Oh, the crowds are getting too big. I'm going to say something really crazy." So he turned to them in Luke 14:28, and he says, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it?" Then just a few verses later, he says, "In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." That is a cost and a half. As far as I know, that's about as expensive as you can get, right? Costing everything? Really, Jesus? You sure we can't just like, just do Sundays or most of my week and then I'll just have a bit on the side? Like, do you really need everything? He said, everything to be my disciple. This is the cost of discipleship to Jesus. Anything less than full devotion and we compromise on quality, leading to a life that can be shaken and fail. If there was an analogy, it would be bringing parts of the world in and being like, "Oh, Jesus, I'm living mostly for you, but I'm just going to have this things on side." That's styrofoam in our concrete foundations. It's not going to work. But Jesus knows that, which leads to our next step. There is only one foundation. So that last bit of that chapter in Colossians was, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus and only Jesus is our foundation. We all know that, right? Like, we've heard that so many times, but it's another thing to actually build him into our life where he is our foundation alone. That's a whole nother thing. He's the rock on which we stand. When everything around us is shaken, when I see people getting baptized, when I see people lifting up their hands for salvation, getting involved in serving others in love and humility, it's because that is a firm foundation they can build their life on. That is the only foundation they can truly build their life on. It's incredible. And if you haven't found out already, I hate to be the one to break it to you, but our lives can turn upside down in a heartbeat. We can be going along so well, and then all of a sudden, bam, the rug's pulled out from underneath our feet and we hit the ground hard. We have had time and time again where that has been true in our lives. And I can honestly tell you, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for God. The rock on which I stand, I can truly tell you, honest as anything, that that is Jesus and only Jesus. It is His love that draws me back to Him over and over again. And even when I'm so desperate, when I'm so in pain or heartache or confusion or doubt or misery, you name it, I can come to Him and go, God, why? And He just meets me with such compassion and grace. And that is the foundation I'm talking about. It's not dependent on how much money's coming into the bank account. It's not dependent on whether people like you or not, or how many friends you have on Insta. I'm not part of that world, so I don't really know what I'm talking about in that space, but it's dependent on only God, and no one can take that away from you. Not one thing on this earth is more powerful than Him. No one can take that away from you. It is as solid as it gets. In John 16, for so much encouragement, it says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." How good is that? We have a God who not just is going to overcome the world, but He has already. And we signify that with baptism, like the resurrection power of coming up out of the water. That is what we're signifying. It's a new life built on Him. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." So in this passage, Jesus is teaching us that both of those houses encountered the storms, right? The storms are coming no matter what. There's no way to escape that. I'm sorry to be a fun sponge, but it's the world we live in. But the great thing was, you can still remain standing, right? It depends where your foundation is. Now, I just got a new leaf blower the other day, and I was, no word of a lie, I was trying to figure out for days how to do an awesome like illustration and get sand up here and then get a little tiny house on there and then a rock, and then I was going to blow them with the leaf blower. And so you just have to imagine that with me, okay? All right? So there'll be like a house here, then a rock, and blow it with heaps of wind. Doesn't do anything. Blow it on, and then sand just flies all the way over there, and then I'd have to vacuum it up after church. This is what I'm talking about, right? The wind is coming for us all. The earthquakes, if you haven't experienced them already, are still coming. But we can build our life on the rock. And I'm not talking about Dwayne Johnson, all right? It's Jesus Christ. He is the rock. In case I'm just clarifying, just in case anyone's like, okay, I'll follow the rock. Life when He hasn't done so already. He's going, follow my example. If you want to be free, lose it all. Give it all up and you will have life and life to the full. If you want to try and keep this life, it'll lead to death. We build our life on the rock by hearing God's word and doing it. That is so important. It's the "and" doing it. They're the only two differences from the two houses. If we just hear it, then it's a styrofoam foundation. It's the styrofoam and the cans and the concrete. It's not going to last. You can be in church all your life, hear every single one of Pastor Shauna Linda's incredible sermons. And that's right, I'm getting brownie points here. You can read your Bible every single day, be in it for hours on end, shame all your friends because of how often you read the Bible app and you're just like ticking these goals left, right, and center. But if it doesn't change you, if you don't do anything because of it, if it doesn't breathe some sort of new life in you, new actions, it's a styrofoam foundation. It's not going to last. This is why I love that we're going deeper as a church. It is so, so cool. Because it takes time to dig a deeper foundation, right? It takes a lot of energy to dig a deeper foundation. But who here has seen like the big skyscrapers and everything that they put everywhere? They dig down so deep to get those foundations right. They go all the way to the bedrock and then keep going. And then they pour concrete after concrete after concrete and steel and everything. Those foundations, sometimes they can be like 10 or 20 stories before they even start on the ground level. Because they know that that building is going to rise. It's going to get huge and it needs to hold a lot of weight. And it needs to be immovable when the winds come, right? You guys going okay? And I get that digging's hard. And I'm going to share the story. A couple of carrot in the sky. And it was very sad, sort of. And I had to dig a hole. It peed on me and it was annoying. Anyway, sorry to go into too much information. But obviously when that dies, you want to take, you know, honour it and whatever else. And so I needed to dig a hole and the ground was really hard. And I was there with like this pickaxe thing going at it. And that didn't even work. So I got like the drill out with like a big auger bit and I was like trying to drill the ground. And by the end of it, I think I only maybe dug it that deep. And I'm just like, oh, sweat was pouring off me. I felt like I was going to have a hernia. It was just insane. But it took so long to dig that deep. And this is what God is asking us to do. He's like, come towards me and dig deep into my love. And it takes time and it takes effort. It costs us everything. But when we dig that deep, we can be built on a foundation that will never, ever be shaken. And we can build a life that will never, ever be toppled over by the waves of this life, right? It's unstoppable, it's unmovable. And when we have these verses of stand firm in the faith, we can stand firm on Jesus' foundation and go, I am not going to be shaken. And we are a church that is an unshakable church. And it's only because we have these incredible heroes of the faith who have been unshakable for decades upon decades, generation upon generation, who have built this church to be unshakable in this city. And this is what God is calling us to do. So the younger generation, this is your calling. Dig deep, deep, deep down into God's love and build your life on Him. And we do that by getting into His word and doing it, right? So I'm going to talk about compromise because you're like, he hasn't talked about compromise much. Step 3, compromise kills. Compromise is that styrofoam in our concrete. It's a temptation to build in an easier way, to dig just a little bit shallower because, you know, that's hard work. And it's doing things without it really costing us that much. That's why 2-minute noodles aren't really that great. Really quick and easy. You just like whack them in the microwave, bish, bash, bosh, you're done. But man, they're not that great. I'd rather have like a 8-hour slow cooked beef brisket or something. Oof, that would be amazing. But it takes time, right? It takes time. Genuinely, Pastor Sean preached an epic sermon this morning on the lure of sin. And if you haven't listened to it, I'd highly recommend going back, either jump on YouTube or Spotify and have a listen. It was genuinely great. And I'm not going to try and steal too much, although that would just make my sermon really epic. But he talked about how our ungodly desires lead into sin, and then sin fully grown leads to death. And sin in the Hebrew Bible wasn't actually, in its original meaning, it wasn't actually a religious term at all. In the original Hebrew, it's called katar. Everyone say katar. Yeah, you guys are good. It's all like guitar, except bad. And it means to fail or miss the goal, right? So if an archer like shot an arrow at a target, they won't want it to katar. Does that make sense? So then the biblical meaning of sin is to fail or to miss the goal in our original plan. What is our original plan? It's to be the people, God's representatives on this earth. It's to be a true representation of God's love, and it's to be a people who perfectly love God and love others, treating everyone with the honor they deserve. And I don't know about different ways to properly reach that goal. That is a lofty goal. But anything less than this is katah. It is sin. It's the missing of the goal of who we were made to be. And this is why Jesus had to come and live that perfect life for us, a life truly uncompromised in holiness, in setting aside everything to God. And the crazy thing is, he does actually call us to do the same. But he doesn't just go, yep, follow me and I won't give you any help. He gives us so much grace. And when we stuff it up, he comes back to us and we just go, God, I'm so sorry. And then he restores us and he restores us and he restores us. Not just once or twice, but over and over again. And there are so many stories in the Bible. Pastor Sean shared one of Samson this morning of compromise, where compromise creeps in and takes people away. They start listening to their own desires and they start death and destruction, just like that building. In James it says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. So my question to you now is, what do you want? What do you desire? What do you crave? And if you're really struggling with this, like, please know I get it. Sky will vouch for this, I have been on YouTube too much. late, and I think prepping sermons is genuinely such a good way to actually like take that in as well. And I am preaching to myself here so much. And as I was preparing this, I'm like, man, I've let this desire creep in. I've let this compromise creep in. And I had to say to Sky, I'm like, Sky, I think I just need to give up YouTube for a bit. Because I felt it had that tug on my heart. And seriously, you guys should just prepare sermons for like your cats or something, because it like it just builds you up. You're just like, oh, this is confronting, it's genuinely incredible. But this is my thing: what do we really truly desire? And I think, for all honest, it's not always God, right? But the cool thing is that He wants this for us. He wants us to desire Him so much that everything else looks like rubbish. And every other desire in the world just fades away. It says in Ephesians 3, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, I don't know about you, but if I got this bottle and I filled it up all the way to the top, nothing else is going to fit in there, right? Absolutely nothing else is going to fit in there. And this is what it's like when we truly start to reorient ourselves towards Christ and let Him do that hard work in us. He starts to truly become the desires of our hearts, so much so that the other desires for the flesh or for sin or whatever your name is, for YouTube, in my case, whatever it is, will fade away. It will start to get less and less and less. So I'm not saying abstain from like all these bad things. I'm saying do that, but replace it with getting deeper in Christ, getting filled up by his presence and love and compassion, getting into his word. However you read his word, just get into it. And if you have barriers that come in, do whatever you can to dig deeper in that. It's going to be hard work and it's going to cost you, but it is so worth the journey. It really is. So how we steward our thoughts and our imaginations is the primary battleground in this. Our primary contact with God and with the enemy is in our mind. In Mary Oliver's final collection of essays, she wrote, attention is the beginning of devotion. What we pay attention to is what we devote our lives to, inevitably. What we worship, we become. Same sort of thing, right? If we are giving God our attention, putting his face right in front of our face and going, God, I am focused on you. The rest will fade away. Psalm 16, 8 to 11 says this beautifully. And I think I could have just read this three verses to your right hand. I shall not be shaken. I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. If you truly want an unshakable life, get Jesus front and center. And that's it. So simple, right? Following God is not complicated. It's just hard. It's just hard work. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. This is the result of it. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. This is a life lived with Christ front and center. Joy in full, pleasures forevermore. But you notice it's not pleasures from watching YouTube and eating 2-minute noodles. It's that harder way. It's the pressing in. It's the going deeper. And this reframes our whole identity. We might have identity in how much we can do. Productivity is a huge one at the moment. How productive are you? How much stuff do you get done during the week? Are you busy? Everyone's busy. Does that craft your identity? Is that something that that defines you? Or is it how much money you might earn? Or is it how many friends you might have? All of these things are an easier way. It's an easier thing to like go, yeah, I'm going to build my life with that. But it's sand. It's styrofoam in your concrete foundations and it will fall eventually. You will not always be productive. You will not always earn lots of money. But you will always have Christ front and center if you choose as your firm foundation. The standard of building, just like the standard of buildings for this, but the standard of buildings for Christ is so incredibly high. So if you're sitting there thinking, I'm never going to be good enough, never going to reach that standard, can I say fantastic? Fantastic. I'm so glad you're there. Because it's only when we reach the end of ourselves, the end of our own strength, that we can truly just go, God, have your way. I am such a wretched sinner, but Lord, you make me a saint. You make me new again. And it is not my strength that does this. I have nothing to do with this. I surrender all control to you. You are the one that makes me new. All I can do is just say, Lord, please have your way. And that is it. I just have to open myself up to him building and strengthening me. We really do absolutely nothing. We bring our monopoly money to his beautiful bank of just complete infinite resources and we go, God, I'll pay for this. And it's like, no, it's not welcome here. Let me do this for you. But as soon as we try and keep control, we go back to building out in our styrofoam foundations. It's coming to Jesus completely humbled, surrendering all control to him and giving him the authority to build our life one step at a time. I might get the team to come up as well, if that's all right. But can I say, as honestly as I can, when I truly started to build my life in Christ and started to take the harder way, it was the start of the best journey that I've ever been on. And it's had its ups and downs, it's had its victories, it's had its moments of hardship and heartache, everything in between. But it is just the most exciting journey. It genuinely is. And I want that for every single one of you. And Bill or anything like that, I just want us all to just spend a bit of time and just open ourselves up humbly before the Holy Spirit. Just ask, Lord, please show me where I'm compromising, where my foundation isn't in you.